Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, Sunday in LA. How are you, everybody? Actually, this is the startup with Monique LeRae. I guess my intro didn't make it, but we'll play it at the end. I'm so excited to be in studio with some really fabulous ladies today. We're talking about startup businesses and events around LA and Southern California. So thank you for tuning in. And this weekend, we have a couple great guests. So to my right, I have Crystal Wright. She is the owner of Lot XI. And how do we pronounce it correctly? And let's get you on because I want to pronounce it correctly.
It's Lot 11.
Lot 11, so that's even better. And to my far right, we have Leah Solberg of Michael Solberg Family Wines. How you doing, Leah?
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, ladies, thanks for being here, and I'm so excited to have you. And we want to jump right in and just talk about your businesses because they're very different but very needed in this culture, and we need great wines. We need good skincare, and, you know, these are things that we need, right? I mean, as far as the skincare goes, and I think it's a lot more than just skincare, right? Tell us a little bit about Lot 11.
Yeah, so I'm actually the co-owner. My mom is actually my business partner. And Lot 11 is really about figuring out how to help people practice self-care. And so I really consider us a self-care product because we also have coconut wax candles, bath tea, body butter, sugar scrubs. And a lot of our product is really named after things to help people really bring in mindfulness, like good vibes. We have a good vibes candle that everybody loves.
I've been seeing your thread on Instagram and all that. People are really asking for the pumpkin, but I guess it's this time of year that they want that.
And so it's so crazy because a lot of my friends have been asking me, Chris, are you going to be doing anything pumpkin? Absolutely not.
No pumpkin. What do you have against the pumpkins,
Chris? No, I love the pumpkin. I think that for everybody, holidays is not always a good time.
Okay.
And wanting people to be mindful 365 days a year. And so not that I'm not, you know, in the holiday spirit, because I am, but I am mindful of that holidays is not fun for a lot of people. And I think, you know, you can always just give a gift and say, I have a good vibes candle.
Here's a good vibe.
Yeah.
It's 365, like you say.
Yeah, pretty much.
So let's dive right in because I want to understand a little bit more about your background and how you found this path and this career path. A lot of times, and this is kind of my go-to with startups, I believe that it really does answer a problem, or it's something that was on your path and you found a solution and it turned into a business. And sometimes it's, you know, something that your parents might have started and then you became passionate about it, and we'll speak to you about that. But tell us a little bit about how this started and the origin story, if you could give us.
Yeah, no worries. So I am a practicing clinical psychotherapist. I have my private practice, and my mom is in education. She's been in education for over 24 years in Compton Unified School District. And so one of the things that I've noticed in going into my private practice is that a lot of clients don't look like me or can't have access as an African-American woman. And so how do I still get to the hearts and minds of people? In addition to that, not everyone comes to therapy. So we were figuring, okay, how can we make these products so that people can enjoy them and become more mindful? And obviously, which even led to my mom making my body butter. She's been making my body butter since I was a little kid.
How cool.
Skin conditioned.
How cool.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome.
She's caring about the inward and the outward. I guess that marries really well because people say, oh, stop stressing, go light a candle. Monique, and I guess you've really taken that from the psychotherapy to my kitchen table.
Yeah. I mean, I use a lot of mindfulness practices using essential oils within my private practice. I encourage my clients to do that. And so obviously my customers are not my clients.
Yeah.
but we definitely use our product as a way to really encourage people to be a little bit more intentional about how they navigate this world that we have been given. And that's just not the just the good vibes candle, even the Sunday morning candle. Mm-hmm. We have a sugar scrub called Mango Monday. I know everybody thinks about Mondays as those blue days. Like, yeah. Here we go.
Monday blues.
Yeah. Monday blues. Yeah. Changing that mindset and changing the narrative to really get people to really think about like, okay, if I were to have a different thought about it, can I have a different behavior?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but then there goes like, you know, hump day, Mike. Remember that commercial? And then there goes like, you know, thank God it's Friday, TGIF, because then you have to throw that narrative out the door if you're talking about, you know, every day can be a Friday.
Totally. And well, and or you can still say TGIF, like, you know what I mean? Like that can still coexist at the same time.
TJIM.
Yeah. Oh, which one is that? Oh, thank God it's Monday.
Maybe you need to make a candle that says TJIM.
Oh, I like it.
Right here at the startup, we are going to manifest that candle.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to come back to you because I want to tie everything in and hear more, delve a little deeper. So we have Leah Solberg, second generation winemaker. Her father frontiered back in the early 80s, I think even the late 70s to early 80s and the 90s. And he formed Michael Solberg Family Wines. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
She's coming off a whirlwind. I think you had an event last night. Can you share about where you were?
Yeah, I went to the Pan Am Experience, and it was excellent. I definitely recommend it for anybody who is thinking about or on the fence to do it. Do it.
It's kind of a reenactment of the old school days when you had the flight attendant outfits, and it was just a simpler time, right?
When it was romantic to still fly. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Right. They didn't search you down like a dog.
Yeah.
Damn
exactly.
It.
when you got the full treatment, you know.
Yeah. So cool. What was your takeaway from that event? I mean, you had wine there, or what was the thing?
We did. We had some wine there, and it was a great event. Very well put together. Talat, the owner, really knows what he's doing, and I can't say enough about the graciousness of him having us there and being able to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Also bringing on the wines to collaborate in the future, so that will be a fun experience.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
I think whenever you can bring, I think, a smaller brand, you're still a smaller brand.
Absolutely.
To a larger infrastructure like Pan Am and a well-known brand, I think that's a marriage made in heaven. You need wine in the air. Are they going to revamp that brand and we're going to fly a Pan Am airline, do you think?
You know, I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You never know.
We'll have some Solberg in the air, hopefully.
Yeah. At the very least, it's at the experience.
That's so right. We like that. So let's delve right in, Leah, because you and I have forged a friendship. Leah and I met in New York at the New York Food and Wine Festival, or Wine, Food and Festival, however they say it.
The Wine Fest,
They abbreviate it different in each city. And I had just gotten there on the last day because I was booked up, and I just have to get here and network. And you and I hit it off right away, and now we're doing some cool things. She just did a custom label for Black Girls Rock with Jesse Collins Entertainment. That was cool.
A lot of fun.
It was so fun. So tell us about your wine and your father and how you got into this.
Well, let's see. In the 70s, my father was working with Olympia Brewing and in their custom wine department when they had one. I'm not sure if they still do. Mm-hmm. He was working with a gentleman named Don Dewey, and they decided to start a wine distributorship in Oregon. It was one of the first smaller distributions, wine distributions in Oregon back in the 70s and then early 80s. And then from there, and this was in Eugene, he moved to Healdsburg, California.
Okay.
Began working with Chip Lee.
That's Napa adjacent for those that don't really know.
Yep. Right. Yep. The little sister or step cousin or whatever of Napa. So he started working with Chip Leith with the Leith Family Wines and developed Michael Solberg Wines out of that, and you know, really made some great strides in the wine industry, really for the smaller entrepreneurial winemakers like myself. We're very family orientated, very much boutique. Carrying on that legacy now for him.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the way to go now, right?
I mean,
start off small, do something really quality and be known to to do it well. And I think, you know, sitting with you, and we took it like a wine road show. It was like a carny thing. She took me on the road with her to see what it's like in middle America. And it was kind of cool. But you do something kind of cool. It's not a blend, but it's a hybrid where you take Pinot and you put 4% of Merlot in it to give it structure. Can you tell us a little bit about your winemaking?
Yeah, it's actually the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yep.
And we do just a little bit of Merlot. We add 3 to 4% Merlot into there to make it really like a smooth but structured wine. So you bring it to the table and everybody's going to enjoy it. That's really what our wines are about. It's about family and community and bringing people together and enjoying each other, because what's life about, really, except to enjoy each other and be with the ones you love?
Great.
So that's kind of our motto to its, you know, fullest, is just the family and friends and community aspect, and bringing that all together so we can enjoy one another. You know,
have some fun. I mean, that's kind of what Crystal and her mother kind of foraged on with the.
Yeah.
You guys have the same. That's interesting. You have the same principle on the bottom of the bottom of the business plan. What is it? What at the core of it? And what do you guys find have been your go-tos in the beginning with your businesses? I know that yours was already in place. You were building it with your mother, but just what were your go-tos when you found yourself in a rough spot? Maybe you didn't, but some tips you could give some entrepreneurs out there on how to build their brand.
Well, I feel like first you have to have a passion for what you're doing. And if you don't have passion for it, don't do it.
Do not do it.
Because life is supposed to be fun. And I know that we all go through our ups and downs.
Yeah.
But it's all about perspective.
Okay.
And as long as you can keep, you know, a fairly good positive perspective on life, you're always going to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to have, is be having fun and be in love with our lives and the people around us. And so that would be the number one thing. If you do not have a passion, don't do it. But if you do, do it and give it all you got.
Even if it's like you're making.
And it's probably not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Because if it was, everybody would be doing it, you know.
That's good advice. What say you, Crystal?
Well,
that's good advice.
Yeah, no, really great advice. And I like what you said too, because I think passion is definitely something that some people feel very distant from, because it does have an element of happiness. And I think you have to create your own happiness, by any means necessary. So I would say, when we created the business, we didn't start off in the urban apothecary lane necessarily. It was more retail therapy, a small boutique off of Adams and Fairfax.
Oh yeah.
I kept the store going for 3 years.
I bet you had to dig down deep there, because Adams is just up and coming. I used to live off Adams.
Yeah, I grew up there too. We're right there. I grew up there as well as Compton. So I had best of both worlds.
Sure.
I would say, coupled with passion, I would say you got to do your research. And I know that sounds so cliche and like, oh my gosh, but know really what's out there. The reality is, none of us, some of us probably could have been the first to invent something, but somebody has done it.
There's no new ideas in Hollywood, is the saying. But like, you can have your own niche and your spin on
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
So okay, that's good advice.
So doing your research and just kind of really knowing, like, either how can you perfect something to make it better? Like, we have body butter, so many body butters out there. And so I figured out, like, okay, what am I going to do to make mine different? And so people fall in love with stories. And people fall in love with the message behind the brand.
Yeah.
And that's why people will support it in comparison to other big box companies.
I love it.
So I would say research for sure.
I love that.
One. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think with your situation, you didn't really get to research because your father already built it. And you kind of were thrown into it. And he, by the way, was coming off the bottle shock era, right? Like,
right.
He was really a frontier in that.
Yeah, it was really just getting up and going again. I mean, Prohibition really took the wine industry out for a long time. And up until, you know, the oh, what did they call it?
It was the Battle of the, it was Battle of France, right?
Yeah.
The bottle shop.
That was all very, you know, cliche. And there's a whole story behind that, that, you know, yeah. There's always stories. But after that, wine started really making its presence again in an industry. And so that, you know, he was able to build upon that.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't what it is today. Today it's so saturated. And again, you have to come back to the story. You know, like
so Crystal we'll get said, we're gonna go back and get some stories, but I want to introduce another phenomenal woman in the house, Alice Foy.
Hi.
She, how you doing, girlfriend?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. We are live on Facebook. I wanted to bring you guys in so they can take us all in a, you know, in doses, because there's a lot of power in this room. And Alice, actually, she has a platform on Instagram, and the website is The Digital Jane. And she's got some other co-companies that have, I think that's the umbrella, or maybe you can explain to us and tell us what the Digital Jane is in your other co-companies.
Of course. Yeah. So the umbrella is Jane Ella Productions. I basically started a company where I wanted to create a way to create content specifically for women of color. I feel like a lot of the larger production companies, they try to reach us, but they're not exactly sure how to do that. So in 2014, I started out this path of creating content and live experiences for women. And then our consumer platform is Jane Ellen Company. So we have a podcast called The World is Her Office. We blog, we have live events here in LA and Chicago. And that's how we engage. And then The Digital Jane is literally my way of helping women make the world their office. So
like a WeWork meets
No, it's more something. So like professional women who are great at so many things. I'm sure you may do one thing, but you may know how to do a million things.
Sure.
So by creating this virtual assistant service and putting my own spin on it, it allows me the opportunity to give women the opportunity to work from home or wherever they want to work. And then also a lot of small businesses need support and they're just not sure, or they think they can't afford it, or, you know, the tax liability of bringing someone on board. So we take care of all that.
You show, and I went on your website, and it shows you what it's like to go to the next level. Because, okay, it started off on paper. Mm-hmm. Now you got a website. Now you made a few sales.
Yeah.
Now you have an assistant. It's the different tiers of, it's like an onion, you know, you're just peeling it off. And I think that's beautiful. Now, if they're not of color, but still women, will you help? I understand creating a space for us, but what about everybody else and what your services start out at?
Yeah. So, I mean, the services are for every entrepreneur. If you're a solopreneur, you need help.
Yes.
You cannot do everything yourself. In order to scale,
you must have
support. You should not at some point be sending calendar reminders and some phone calls and things like that. You can outsource and just, you know, learn how to delegate. And I think in order to grow properly, you have to know how to delegate. And so, yeah, our services are for everyone. When we actually create our event experiences under the Jane Ellen Company, they're just catered to and geared towards women of color. So not just Black women, but Latino women, Asian women, whoever wants to come. I feel like a lot of spaces are so generalized.
Yeah.
It's hard to create something that's specific and curated for us.
No, it's good. It's good. And I don't think there's anything. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And so tell us, because we were just touching on the ladies a little bit about their origin story, and every origin story is different, but I do find that there's something you know, in the come up of it that's really interesting, and like what, where it came from. So the conceptualization, I can't speak today, you guys.
You're
I'm excited. There's so much energy in here. I'm so excited. The concept and where it came from, tell us, you know, the seeds, where it all started growing.
Yeah. So all of my background is in event production. You know, I help a lot of larger companies pull off these massive events in short periods of time, and they contract me to do that. And then it just became a point where I wanted to have my own thing. Like, I, you know, when if a Verizon wanted to do an event for women, a brunch, I want them to be like, yo, you have to call Alice. Like, that's,
go
you
to
need
Alice.
Her in order to get this type of specific niche event done. Okay. But that wasn't realistic. A lot of people in the industry told me not to do that. So I started in Chicago just having vision board parties, speed networking events. I had a book club of 25 women, just really gathering them, doing things that I wish existed. You know, it wasn't a lot of that in 2014. Now there's a brunch, a book club everywhere on every corner. But at that time, it wasn't a large market of women based events. And so I just created it, and it started in small numbers. And so I was the sales and events manager at a ballroom doing over 200 events a year.
Wow.
And always just wanting my own thing. And so Jane Ella first started as, it was given to me by God. I don't want to be super religious, but it was given to me as a vision from God. As
you do you, whatever works for you.
A Kate Spade inspired line. I wanted to do business class, super luxe accessories for the busy woman on the go.
Great.
You know, our work bags are sometimes eyesores. You want to hide it under the table. But I wanted to design products that were specifically for us, that were statement pieces that would be like great. But in order to do it properly, I was like, I don't have the budget to really build it out.
Yeah.
So having the events became the way that I would engage my future customer mm-hmm. in a live experience and kind of show them like the type of things that we do. And then the product will come later. The product has not come yet. But I've built out two other tiers of, you know, two other verticals.
But they say the vision will pull you forward.
Yeah.
So just keep doing it. And it'll, I think. So now, ladies, let's see where the common ground is here, because it's kind of cool. I mean, you guys all have a lot of things going on. Where do you guys find, and I asked this last weekend, which I think is great to ask entrepreneurs, because a lot of you have families and you have dogs and cats and friends and things and other things going. Time management. All right. Yes, that's a good topic. Our viewers on Facebook, our listeners, give us some tips on time management. I'll start with Crystal and then go around the room. Give us some tips on things that you find help.
Yeah, well, obviously, having my own business is already one aspect of what you said, many of the things that I do. And so I find a time slot calendar is super, super helpful. When I was in the working world or whatever, I used a just like a daily kind of to-do type of style. But when I quickly became an entrepreneur, that just didn't work because everything seemed like a to-do and it seemed overwhelming for me specifically. I would say that you have to just try what works for you and whatever you can be consistent with, because I found myself like skipping pages, like, oh, I'm gonna add more to it, and then next thing you know, like, I've ran out of pages and I actually wrote nothing.
Oh yeah.
So now I actually have a hourly calendar, and I use post-it notes as a way to kind of like structure my day, or maybe to-dos that I have to do. Mm-hmm. To-dos really go on my phone, but my calendar is hourly because meetings are important. I think time, being on time, is essential.
Yes.
To be a business owner and really being
effective, anyway.
Being effective and just being mindful of other people's time too. So if you say 2:30, be there at 2:25. You know, just really be intentional about your time, because that also goes along with customer service if you really want your business to grow and scaling it.
And that came up last weekend with the time thing. Yeah. I had an old boss say, "All right, the meeting's at 4:12," and we're like, "Who's gonna forget 4:12? Because it's such an odd number." But everybody was there at 4:12 because it's stuck in your head. So. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a psychological thing, I guess. But time management so you do, what I heard you say was you do a visual count, like a post-it, and then you do an hourly follow-up on your phone. So you hear it and you see it. Is that right?
Backwards. So the hourly is actually written down. Okay. I'm an old school person. Like, I feel like if you write it down, I think it sticks. Some people are just like, my phone, with all of the apps, with all of the Instagram accounts that I have to have, Facebook accounts, email accounts. I have like 7.
Oh, okay. Well, we see each other.
You know, so I just feel like if I write down meetings that I have or things, product that I need to complete on the hourly, then it gets done. Like my ideas and my thoughts going kind of like a regular side thing that I have there. But in terms of my time, things that I have to be somewhere at that specific time goes into my hourly old school calendar that I got from Staples.
I love that.
Yeah.
What about you, Ms. Solberg? How do you manage it? Because you've got a whole full house over there in Oregon.
I don't.
You have animals and dogs and kids and stuff.
No. You know, again, yes. Calendars. I mean, and I'm like visceral, so I like to write things down and.
Yeah, because of the same.
Use my phone as well, set reminders. But, you know, I think that the control of my time is why I want to be an entrepreneur as well. So
I
set also my calendar to a certain respect as well, which I.
Yeah, what do you mean by that, though?
Well, so let's say I know that I need to be doing something for myself. For my, you know, time management for me, and I will make sure that I make that time for myself to do it, and I can because I am the boss of my
business. That is a perk, though, ladies, you know, of being the large E word.
So that does give the flexibility and the control of time, which I think the control of your own time is the most important asset you can have for yourself.
Yeah.
Really.
I love it.
And that's why we're doing this, I think, is not only to bring, you know, what we love to everybody, but also, be in control of our time here on Earth, you know, and enjoy what we love.
So you're saying maybe right. What I'm hearing you say is like corporate world where you didn't really have control of your schedule so much, but now you can set it because if you're choosing the brands.
Yeah, a bit more. And having respect for the game
and
the grind and knowing that you need to be there and you have to always be pushing yourself, you know, to get to where you want to go. But also to remember that you are in control of that ultimately and to make time for yourself. So,
well, I mean, Alice, you have to put yourself on it. To Leah's point, you got to put yourself. I have to put boundaries to myself. Like, okay, you've got to do this for 3 hours.
Right.
Exactly.
Or it's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Right.
What do you think about time management?
Time management is something that I learned that when you're small, you have to have systems right away. So I've had someone, even when my chips were completely down, I've always had someone as my admin because I realized that in order for me to grow, I can't touch everything. So in terms of like my personal calendar management, sending emails, following, like things like that, I can't do it all and do everything for my clients at a higher level. So it's like, it's impossible. When I start my day, I wake up at 5:30 every morning.
Okay.
And between 5:30 and 7 is just my time. I like to feel that time of the morning before I touch anything, before I do anything for anyone else. That's the time that I take for myself priority. So that
you set the pace. Yes. You don't even check your phone if it's ringing?
Okay. I ease, unless it's my mom. Cause
okay.
She likes to talk at like 6:30.
So, okay.
Other than that, I like to ease into my day. And I know that's the only time I'm really guaranteed. Once it hits 8 o'clock, it's like you're hitting the ground running, you know?
Right.
And so since I still freelance on larger events, I set my day up in tiers. So from 8 to this time, I may work on this project. And I will only put the highest tier item and then 2 smaller things that I know that I can knock out or 3 smaller things I know I can knock out.
Interesting.
Then the next block of time, I do this project. Because if I'm working on 2 big events at one time, you have to learn how to break it up. So there will always be things that will pop in and that were not planned that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
But once you knock those things out, you come right back to your list. It's like a safe ground, you know, like,
so
okay.
Like, this is the nucleus of the day.
Yes.
And there'll be
anything,
things that.
It's okay. Always going to be other stuff that comes up. Always. And you're always going to have to stop and handle it. But to me, it's like, if I set these intentions for the day, it gives me a clear ground of once it's done, I can cross it off and I can move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So in terms of time management, having a start and an end point is good. No one should be doing team no sleep. That works for Diddy. Like,
oh, really? Well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Right?
Your mind needs rest. You have to be able to rest your mind and start fresh. And so I run circles around team no sleep by 7 a.m. You know, they're groggy and falling over. And I'm like, hey.
But what if you're excited about ideas? Like sometimes I can't shut it down.
Yeah.
And then when I shut it down, then I find that I sleep too long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's calls ringing. So I just, you know, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
To be team no sleep.
Yeah, but I used to do that. But in order to get sleep, I do voice notes. I'll talk myself through my ideas.
Yep. That's
and record the emotion or whatever I was feeling when I was going through the idea. I'll walk myself all the way through it.
Okay.
So then it's off my mind.
Interesting.
And you have to let yourself rest in order to be effective, to be a leader, to create. You have to give your mind, your body, and your soul time to like check, like relax.
I like that. And I read an article that said, get a piece of paper and write out what is on your mind for the next day. Mm-hmm. Put it by your bedstand because I'm like, oh, did I get everything that I have to do? And then if, like visual like you. And then it's there and I can look over and go, it's right there. Shut the engines.
Yeah.
So I like that you brought that up. Have to do that sometimes, especially on the road because you've got moving parts on the road. Well, okay, ladies, so let's talk about the dirty word, the dirtiest word that they call us, which is entrepreneur. Back in the day, I don't know if you listeners know, I don't think I shared this yet, but back in the day, you know, I started something. It was called the Recycling Club. I was probably 12 years old. And I don't know if my parents like published it in the newspaper back in the day. I don't know what they did, but I remember getting a piece of mail and it said the Recycling Club on it. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh my God, that was my idea. And that was the original thing. And back then I was always selling stuff, the cookies at the assemblies and the, you know, the things that they do at school. So I was always in the grind and I liked putting my hands in the clay and seeing what I could make. Had flyers for, you know, window washing and things like that. So it was fun. And I remember as I was growing, you know, growing older and in my 20s, that feeling of being an entrepreneur back in the day, it had a dirty word. It was kind of a dirty word. It meant you were broke. It meant you didn't really have a job. I mean, what do you guys think about the word entrepreneur? And did you have the same hangups around the word?
I feel like maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I'm not even really sure. I think that whether you're an entrepreneur or you work in corporate, I think everyone is just trying to figure it all out. I think corporate does, number one, let me back up.
Yeah.
Everyone is an entrepreneur. And I think sometimes I'm like, am I an entrepreneur? Am I not? You know, like what makes you an entrepreneur? And I just, like you said earlier about passion, be passionate about whatever it is that you're doing. Some people love the fact that they're an administrative assistant mm-hmm. and they love doing that and they're passionate
definitely.
About
we definitely
that.
Need that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think being an entrepreneur, I think you define it for yourself and figure out how can it fit into the world. And I think number one, at least for me, being an entrepreneur is also being as impactful as possible in a positive way.
Sure.
So I'm not sure if I had any hangups about it being like a dirty word. It's definitely scary.
it's dirty and scary. Yeah. I forgot the other word.
It's definitely scary. It ebbs and flows. I mean, like, you know, my friend's like, oh my gosh, you had so many sales. Let's go out of the country. And I'm like,
you don't
you don't get it. Yeah.
I got to pay some stuff.
I got to re-up on some product. I'm actually going to get some rest. I'm going to sleep. I'm not sure if it's a dirty word. I just think that it comes with a lot of sacrifice.
Sure.
Beautiful sacrifices as well.
Nice way to put it.
It just takes some time to really get traction. And I think that whether you're in business for 5 years, 2 years, 6 months, I think you just have to give yourself enough compassion to know that it takes time to really build something sustainable with longevity. And I think you can probably speak to that, how long you've been in business with the wine. So
what do you guys think? Entrepreneur, bad, a dirty word, scary word? How do you feel when you hear the word?
I never equated it to being anything negative, honestly.
Okay.
I always felt like it was freedom.
Okay.
To be and to create what I wanted. So yes, it's scary. But once I think you embrace and I think that you have a higher power of faith that you believe in, I think that it gives you the strength to just know that as long as you're doing what you feel in your heart is what you want to be doing and one foot in front of the other, and you are okay with change. Because that's the only guarantee.
That's
you
a
ever
good
have,
word. That's the good word.
You know,
for entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Change.
and you can roll with those punches.
Yeah.
And acclimate to it.
Yeah.
I think that it's a great thing. I mean, and if you can allow yourself to be in that space with that freedom, and I mean, it's, you know, a lot of being, you know, very much, you know, your own person and your own boss and delegating out, you know, to other people what you need to be done to elevate what you are and to elevate them as well with you on that path.
Yeah.
I think is great. And I think that's all about what this is entrepreneurial path is about not only elevating yourself, but bringing as many people as you can into that community, you know, and spreading the love and the joy, you know, you can find out of that freedom. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
The change word is, you hit on something. I'm like, oh God, change. Cause you know, you start with the initial idea and a concept and a business plan. And then there's some twists and turns. And I find that you can't be so married to what you thought it was going to be. You have to let it show you where it's going. You can watch the followership on your Instagram. You can see where people are leaning and what they're asking for. And then kind of, you have to be open
and people, you know, and It's hard to have faith. It's hard to let go of the control. Everybody wants to control all the time.
Yeah.
Control this. You can't. You can't control anything. All you can do is just go with it and be in the flow of it.
Yeah.
And once you can do that and be okay with that and live in your passion and do what you want to be doing,
yeah,
it really does kind of organically come together. One way or another.
I like that. I like that. Well, you've been in business for a few decades, so I'm listening to you guys. What do you think, Alice? Is that word?
Yeah, I mean, everything that they both just said, like, it is ever-changing. It's unpredictable. It is a gray area. It's everything that I love. That's what keeps me excited about it. And I think that when I first started, it was impossible to explain why I would drop out of nursing school to start a business.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can't just say that at a cookout to the older generation because they're like, what?
Yeah.
No one in my family has successfully ran a business. Like there has been, maybe someone had a car wash or something like that, but no one has sustained a business over the course of years. So the way that I choose to live, I had to learn that I don't need to identify with anyone else's entrepreneurial journey.
Okay.
You may identify with bits and pieces of it, but it will never perfectly align. Your story and your journey is your own. And every quarter, every day, every minute can be different. And I think that that's the part that gives me the most joy because it can be whatever. And you have to be willing to go through the ups and downs.
Yeah.
So my mom is she's learning through me, you know, and just to be able to teach her.
What is she learning? What is she going to be launching here soon?
It took her so long to even understand why I wanted to do it. Her generation was, you know, you do 40 years at a job, you were 30 years at a job, you retire, you get your benefits, you get your Social Security, and you know, that's what you do. And so I had to tell her, like, yeah, I can still do savings. I can still do investment things that will still set me up for that, for, you know, retirement.
Right.
But it's just more work. And to understand why someone would want to work 80 hours a week versus 40.
Yeah. But it goes back to that passion word. Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons.
It doesn't feel, I jump up at 5:30 with no alarm clock. I don't set an alarm to wake myself up.
Because you're excited.
Yeah. It's like every day I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know?
Well, you set this up to my next question. You teed it up almost like you knew I was going to ask this, which is great. And I've got a specialist here as well in the mental sciences. But I was going to say, I was going to ask you ladies about the psychology of an entrepreneur. Like, what the hell makes you drop out of nursing school? What the hell makes me, like, just, you know, no nails, you know, because I can get my nails done, but I'm saying you have to make sacrifices for what you love. I'll ask you, because you're the professional, is psychologist, right?
I am actually a clinical psychotherapist.
Psychotherapy. So just tell us the difference and then.
I don't think it's a huge difference. I just don't do any testing.
Okay.
Which psychologists normally do a lot of testing in those areas. But a traditional talk therapy is just depending on whatever the treatment that you're providing your client.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what do you think the psychology is behind? And like she said, everybody's story is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, I'll throw this at you and then you'll answer. But I saw my parents working all the time and I saw them rolling up pennies for lunch money. Mm-hmm. And the struggle was real and we're not the only ones, but we always ate and we always had a place to sleep. But it was hard. I saw, you know, some deficits there. And I was like, F that. I'm not doing it. You know, and I would always say, can't feed them, don't breed them, you know, until I can have a certain amount. And so that is part of my psychology, I think, with that.
I think it's, let's just like, lame terms, like really it's like learned behavior. You know what I mean? I want to see something different. I want something different. I think that, I mean, I went the school route. I did exactly what my family wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm done here. But I
I showed up.
I did it. But I still do it. And I just learned how to blend both my business with my private practice. So I just think that it's more learned behavior.
Huh.
And so I think just kind of what you were saying about your mom, like my mom is my business partner. So that's like really fun and also very challenging at times because she's still working.
Thanks for keeping it real.
Yeah, it's challenging. Just the creativity, the ideas, her passion, like time is essential. Like, hey, mom, print those labels. Oh, which ones, like, in the Dropbox. But
props to your mom, by the way, using Dropbox. Like, that's gangster.
Right?
She's doing her,
it's
doing
serious.
The damn thing.
Yeah. She's got it. It's pretty amazing. And at this point, kind of what you were saying, my grandmother, she's 85, and she's pretty awesome. And we have, it has taken some time for her to understand why I would leave a six-figure job to pursue both my private practice and Lot 11 100% or 300%, let's just say, because I sleep. That is essential. I sleep all the time.
Okay.
Whenever I need to.
That's
like a non-negotiable. That's a non-negotiable.
There's days where I don't. There's days where I've got to, you know.
And you'll be surprised because we think we're being effective by staying awake.
Sure.
You can look, this is all in the studies of neurosciences.
Even, no, I believe you. I'm just saying it's right. Yeah. You're the doctor. No. Damn it.
But yeah, it's definitely, we think that we're doing a good job. I used to not sleep, particularly in grad school, not sleep. Like, oh yeah, I need to, you know, get it through, but I probably only remember the first 25% of that book.
The retention. Yeah.
Yeah, the retention. So I would just say learn behavior for sure. And
so that's what you're saying is why we do it.
Yeah, just why we do it. It's just what we see and what we want for ourselves. The reality is we're all individuals. So whether or not someone chooses to work for their family business or be in corporate, if that's what they're, that's their learned behavior in their environment.
But then, you guys went against the learned behavior, right?
I did. Because,
I
don't know if I did or I didn't. I mean, because okay. I did every, I'm still doing it. I
but just, you're doing it, you on spend my it on terms. Its, you spend it on its head. And
exactly,
it.
On my terms. So, okay. Which I think it takes a level of vulnerability. So I think that from communities or my family in particular, in terms of being vulnerable to say, no, I'm not going to this job anymore because I can't be home with my kids.
Right.
I don't think that was something that they felt that they could do.
Yeah.
And I think now at least my siblings are just trying to redefine their world a little bit different because family is so essential and family inherited or created, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that looks like. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you think, Ms. Silberg? Leah?
Well, you know,
she's the expert. She's the expert.
There you go.
We're just the maniacs that are doing
no,
it.
Yeah. No.
I agree. You know, and for me, you know, I feel like definitely learned behavior. And I think about that all the time with my own children and how I'm teaching them and how they're growing up, you know, and also with the school systems and how broken I feel like those still are. You know, just to really accentuate people's talents more than anything else is where I think we need to focus. And for me, I don't think it was as scary coming into the entrepreneurial world because both my parents are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
My mom has her own business. She started, she's owns a hair salon.
That's
now.
Right. You had it coming from both ways.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's great.
So, you know, I don't know if I ever had not the you know, that kind of reverberating onto me as far as being able to do. God bless them for that.
That's
you know?
Really cool.
Because I never actually until this moment even thought about it. It was kind of, I always felt like I was going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that was, you know, on its slight edge, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
I knew that actually where I am is the business that I wanted to be in.
A professional wino.
Yes.
I love it.
Somebody has to do it.
Somebody's got to taste those grapes. Those grapes died for you.
Right. And, you know, and carrying on my father's legacy after he passed away in 2011. I mean, it's an absolute honor for
Rest
me.
In peace, Mr. Solberg.
Yeah.
We have the same initials, too. When we met, we're like, that's crazy. Yes. MS. And my real name is Stinson, guys. It's not Leray, but that's my middle name hyphenated. But anyway.
Yeah.
My
first name is L.
Yeah.
You know? So, hey.
Hey.
It was meant to be.
I love it.
So, you know, but I definitely think that there's a lot of learned behavior and things that, as a society, we need to get over. There is magic in the world, and we need to remember that.
I love
and
that.
We know not to tell our kids that there's not. You know, mm-hmm. we need to remember
you can
what
it
was that we were as children, that magic, and bring it not get jaded in life and keep that with us as like we grow older. So
I love that, ladies. Yeah. What do you think, yeah, Alice?
I don't know. I feel like now that I listen to their stories,
yeah,
I watched my mom work really hard at really crappy jobs, but the joy that she had was always doing, she used to do like, she would decorate banquet halls for people and do weddings and do set up bars and food tables. And that's what she loved. And she would get paid so little for it. So I watched her do gig work that she was great at, mm-hmm, that she never really knew how to tap in and actually monetize.
Right.
And I didn't even know that that's what I was watching. But when I started in events, it was never, I never connected the two of her being doing those type of events, because it's so night and day. I don't do birthday parties, weddings, anything right like that. So yeah, it's like, it's a different world, but it's also the core of what I saw her do. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like, I could not find a job on Indeed that matched anything that was what I wanted to do.
Is Indeed still a,
Indeed. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Indeed. Shout out to Indeed. I'd love for you to sponsor us.
Yeah, it's still a thing. So I mean, to me, it just goes back to what I said earlier, creating what you wish existed. Because I felt out of place everywhere that I was. Yeah. And I always...
Most entrepreneurs do.
Yeah. And it's something that you can't really even explain to people. It's like, I'm good at this, but I know that I'm not being used to my fullest potential.
Yes,
like I'm not even tapping in.
Not even close.
Yeah. So, I mean, even when I was running the ballroom doing 200 events a year, they promoted me so quickly. I hit the glass ceiling and I ran to to California. I was like, I can't be here, because I knew that there was untapped potential. And I was like, in order to really be able to consistently challenge myself and really create the things that I wish the world had already, I have to be able to do this on my own. And it wasn't anything that I had saw anyone do outside of like the Oprahs and things like that. But then I learned that you have to be inspired by those stories, but don't idolize them.
Yeah.
Because no one wants a duplicate. No one wants a carbon copy. Like, you have to pull inspiration from other people's stories and then do your own thing.
Stay individual.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's your authentic message. I think your whole theme today is like, just doctor?
Be inspired.
I love
but
calling
don't
you
copy.
A doctor, by the way.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but
damn it,
have a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you will be. Maybe I'm having a flash.
It's still a thought, but maybe the business will pay for it. But I'm not gonna get any more student loans. So.
Well, maybe you won't have to.
Exactly. Yeah.
We'll do it, ladies. I can't believe the time has flown already. This is just so great to have you. I want to continue the conversation. If you guys want to reach out, let's continue the conversation with these ladies by following them on social media and reaching out and messaging them and showing them your support. And ladies, in 1 minute each, if you could just tell us where we can find you in the world of social media and tell us what you're up to.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It is LOT, that's lot _XI, that's 411 on Instagram. And we're on Facebook, but I feel like Instagram is a big thing now. And we have a few upcoming pop-ups. I'll be at Summit 21, awesome, which is October 5th.
Yep.
And I just got into Unique LA. I don't know.
Congratulations.
I've tried 4 times.
High five.
High five.
Nice. Oh, wait. Are we doing are we still making it explode?
I think so.
Yeah.
Are the kids still doing that?
I think so.
I'm a kid. Please still do.
Yeah. So I'll be in Unique LA December 14th and 15th. But I would definitely say DM on Instagram, and I'm really responsive.
Beautiful. Miss Leah Solberg.
Well, you can find us at all social media platforms. Michael Solberg Family Wines. TikTok is MSF Wines.
The fact that you're trying to tackle TikTok is TikTok. You're a hero.
Yeah.
All right.
We're up and coming and doing a bunch of great stuff.
Some custom labels.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about that.
Yeah.
And then Alice, tell us where we can find you in about 1 minute, please, darling.
Yeah, of course. So my personal Instagram is meet Alice Foy, and you can find all things Jane Ella at janeellaco.com. If you're looking to hire or check out the Digital Jane, you can do thedigitaljane.com. So we are.
Yay. Thank you, ladies. I love it. Now, guys, I just want to remind you that I have an event coming up November 9th. It's going to be in Santa Monica. It's a mixer. It's a brand mixer. We're kind of celebrating the pre-American Music Award week. You know, there's a lot of gifting suites, but we're doing a brand mixer. So a lot of startup businesses will be there. And you can find that on Eventbrite. It's the pre-AMA week brand mixer. So come out. Also, I'll be doing my first annual startup we're doing a, like an entrepreneur lab, a holiday mixer. And that's December 5th in Santa Monica. So in the heart of Silicon Beach. Thank you so much today for our sponsors. Well, we have one. It's Legal Rights Advocates. If you're getting like harassing calls and, you know, they're, you know, messing with you and you don't owe anything and you need some help with something, bills, their number is 603-505-1855 and they're there to help. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming. And I think my question to you is, what are you going to start up today? And hopefully you'll get started on it. And thanks for tuning in.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.